Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we're so grateful to have you have joined us today. And right now, we are so glad to have Mr. Dan Fraley with us, National Day of Prayer. Hi, Mr. Dan.
Hello.
Mr. Dan, if you don't mind, would you start us off, sir, with a beginning prayer for our program?
All right. Right now. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for this National Day of Prayer, and there are people all over this country praying, Lord. Lord, we just are asking you for our forgiveness, to help us to turn back to you, Lord, so that we can be a stable and united nation again, Lord, that are united in your name, Father. Lord, we just ask you to see to our needs. We ask you to give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to get through these last days, Father. We ask you to give us special insights into the scriptures and into the teachings of your holy word so that we may be able to dispel some of the false teachings of Islam and other false religions that are coming here in these last days. Lord, we ask you to bless this radio program.
Anyone,
this radio program tries to stick to the truth, and Lord, we just try to keep your holy word in Jesus' name. Somebody was coming in, or?
Oh, yes, Mr. Dan. Thank you, Mr. Dan. Listeners, we have a treat, not a treat, we have a blessing. I need to put it right, especially since it's the National Day of Prayer. We have a blessing today. We have our Jewish friend with us, Mr. Dan. We've got a surprise for you. Mr. Luden is here with us. Hi, Luden. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Shalom from Jerusalem to you and to Dan and to all the listening audience out in the U.S. We say shalom from Jerusalem.
Happy
shalom
Rosh Kadosh to you.
Wow. Well, let's start off with this, Mr. Dan, if you don't mind. We'll go ahead and let Luden tell us what's going in Jerusalem right there where he's at. If you don't mind, Luden, I know we heard in the news that on the 27th that there's the West Bank and Gaza is trying to unite. Can you tell us about that?
Well, according to the latest news and reports that are coming in via the news media and in the independent news, actually, there's a person by the name of Hanin Zoabi, who is a member of the Israeli Knesset, or the Israeli government, and she has been voted in by the Arabs, because they have the right to vote. You know, we live in a democracy here in Israel, and this woman was actually on one of the flotillas that navigated into actually trying to get into the Gaza Strip. And what I mean by this is that this Hanin Zoabi has called for actually I think it's May 15th, if I'm correct, that she has called for Intifada. What that means is an uprising right here within Israel. And as you all know, that right here in the Middle East, in Syria, there is an uprising. The Assad government continues to assassinate people that are demonstrating and want real change. But right here within Israel, we're having a big issue because four of the Arab MKs, members of the Knesset, were actually at the signing of the Hamas and Fatah agreement in Cairo. Now, how can this be? Either you're with us or you're against us. So it's a double standard they're playing against the state of Israel. As you know, in Egypt, Hosni Mubarak is no longer the president of Egypt. And the Muslim Brotherhood, I believe, that will take control of Egypt, and they are actually calling for the annulment of the peace agreement that Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin had signed, that peace agreement. So there's a lot of things shaking here in the Middle East, and we need to be vigilant. We need to stand guard, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They were also here celebrating Osama bin Laden as a martyr. Here the Arabs, and many of them were against what the American administration did by allowing the Navy SEALs and take this operation. There was actually an iman, and what I mean by iman is one of the leaders of the mosque here in Jerusalem at the Temple Mount, calling for the hanging of President Obama. So things are turning not for the best, because I believe that this agreement with Fatah and Hamas will put even more pressure to the Israeli government to give in. And what do I mean by this? I don't know whether most of you know this, but Judea and Samaria are up for negotiations. I believe that the Obama administration has asked Benjamin Netanyahu, our prime minister, to cede most of Judea and Samaria. So the shelf agreement is already in place. I believe, and I say this with authority, that September 2011 is going to be a day, is going to be a month of a lot of changes here in the Middle East. So we need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, which is up for grabs. And Hamas is saying that if they do take control of Judea and Samaria, rockets can easily reach Tel Aviv. I don't know whether many of you notice or notice that rockets are being fired towards Zerot, Ashkelon, the Negev, and Ashdod. And they have reached actually as far as Beersheba. Even with this so-called dome system that America has given Israel, or actually we've bought it, it doesn't stop all the barrage of rockets that are coming in day in and day out. So there's a lot of things shaping up. Many of you might not know this, but there's already a dividing wall that's dividing Jerusalem from east to west. It was done to keep out terror, but if you put one and one together, these things must happen in order for this so-called peace agreement to come to pass. So there's a lot of things that the quartet are doing behind the scenes. There's a report today that Hillary Clinton is willing even to talk to Hamas. I don't understand how you can categorize Hamas a terrorist organization and then decide to go and talk to them. I believe that Hamas will never recognize Israel, and the same thing for Fatah. Abu Mazen is a known supporter of terrorism. I don't know whether many of you know that the Fogel family was slaughtered, butchered by two Arabs right next to Ariel in Somalia, actually. And they were celebrating the death of a baby, a three-month-old baby, 11-year-old young man, his sister and mother and the father. And these people were religious, and they were a good family, didn't hurt a soul. And we have to be vigilant. And what I mean by this is, if there's a time to pray, it is now. America and all our friends that are abroad, the time is now that you need to pressure your leaders and not to give an end to this so-called peace agreement. The quartet, this guy Tony Blair, continues to go into Ramallah and try to convince Abu Mazen to come back to the negotiating table. I believe that Netanyahu has a strong hand, and he's trying to do what he can. But with all the pressures that we're getting from the U.S., from France, from Britain and Germany, it puts a lot of pressure on our prime minister. So many things are happening here in the Middle East. Many of you should know that Lebanon also has taken control by Hezbollah. Nassan Nasrallah is pushing the buttons via Iran, and Iran is dictating to Nasrallah what goes on and what goes out. As we know, many of you might not know this, but Hariri was the prime minister of Lebanon, and due to Iran, he is no longer the prime minister of Lebanon. So they actually have put a puppet prime minister that is more towards Iran and Hezbollah than pro-democracy government in Lebanon. So we are surrounded by many enemies, and all you have to do is go and read Psalms 83, and you can pinpoint Psalms 83 with what is currently happening here in Israel today. And I will quote Psalms 83, and it says, I think it's verse 3 or 4, it says that, and they have come and said, let us cut them off from being a nation, that Israel's name be remembered no more. And this is exactly what's happening here today, and I've been saying this for 4 years now. So the time is now, and you that are in America, all believers that are friends of Israel and love Israel and want to be a part of this great movement, we need you as much as you need us. And we are facing difficult times, difficult challenges, but yet we understand that the God of Israel, who has called a nation to be rebirthed in May 15, 48, he will protect us, and and He is with us, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. So that is just a little bit of news that I have been gathering to share with you today. Any questions?
I have a question, but I know Mr. Dan has some questions, so I'll let Mr. Dan go ahead first.
Well, I've got a few questions. First of all, you have no friends in the nations. The only friends that you have in the world is evangelical Christians. And it seems to me that our nation has pretty much slapped you in the face, and for sure England has. And you all are in a very lonely, separated situation, and I feel for you, and I know that that our prayers in the Christian people are going to Israel right now. But one of my questions is the Knesset, which is supposed to be a representation of all the different groups in Israel, allow Arabs to be a part of their group and have a seat on the Knesset, but the Jewish Christians have been shunned, and the Messianics that live there are not allowed to sit on the Knesset. And yet, who is more friendly with what the Jewish people want, the Arabs or the Christians that live there in Israel?
You know, that's a great question, and I hate to say this, but I mean, how can you let supporters of terrorism represent a people that are trying to destroy, trying to push Israel, all Jews, out to the sea? Yet I'll give you one person whose name is Rabbi Avi Lipkin, and he's trying to form a coalition, and he wants Christians involved so that they can also be part of the Knesset. But there is a lot of opposition. You have to understand that the Orthodox automatically think because Christians are living here in Israel, they want to missionize or Christianize the Jews. And there's a big opposition. You have the Shas party headed by Eli Yishai, who's in control of the interior ministry. You know, it's really sad that you have opposing Arab MKs that are part of the Israeli government, and they have a representation of the Arabs, yet they are against everything that Israel is for. So I just don't understand why they will not allow people that really love and care for Israel, like you know, maybe Messianics, maybe Christians, evangelicals, to be part of the Israeli Knesset or government. So that is an issue that needs to be looked at. And you know, if the Prime Minister will hear this, I suggest that the Prime Minister will take a hold of people around him that are willing to go the distance, because this says Hanim Soavi, I mean, this lady has called for Antifada, for an uprising against Jews. Then Hamas has stated the same, and I believe they all are together in this, because what they're trying to do is, I believe, since the uprising in Egypt, they want that ripple effect to come into Israel. And God be with us, and then Hashem help us that this does not happen at all, because there's many Arabs here in Israel that if one flame sparks, it's going to just spark everybody else, and we might be in danger. And as you know, we don't have any friends, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There has to be changes within the government and within the political system for them in order to have either Christians, Messianics, or whatever in the government. And me personally, as long as they're for Israel, I don't have a problem. But to have these people that are MKs and are Arabs and are calling for the destruction of Israel, I don't see why they should even be within the government at all. As for me, I would just cast them aside and let them run for the Knesset and another nation, not in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I just think of that lady. It's really traitorous to think that she is calling for an uprising. And I'm thinking, you know, being she's a part of the Knesset, I would guess, Luden, that she must be privy to really important high intelligence information. And how in the world can Israel trust her when she has shown herself so anti-Israel? I mean, can they not make her? Is there not a way to remove her from office?
What they did was they had a committee, and this committee suggested that some of her rights would be taken away from her. So she's a smart woman, and I believe that she has some kind of legal background. And she went to the Supreme Court, and I believe the Supreme Court, I think they made a ruling already on her behalf, that the Knesset committee had no right to strip her of her privileges. I for one would love to have this woman go and move her house to Gaza and live over there, because we don't need people that are calling for an antifada or an uprising. I was thinking of a name, and the name came to my mind. There's a guy named Barghouti who is a known terrorist, and he's in jail for life. So between him and her, they came with this idea on May 15th for the uprising. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but they publicly have stated for an antifada against Israel. And not just her, there's other members of the Arab Knesset members that are actually in the same boat, because they want the total destruction of Israel, even so they are in the government, yet they are against the government and everything that has to do with Israel they are opposing.
Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesying, when the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem, they prophesied for the people to leave for their protection. But one of the prophecies in both books was that rather than depending on God, they were depending on Egypt to come and help them, to save them from their enemy. And it almost seems like a parallel is kind of going on here. It seems as soon as Israel gets its breath of the Ruach HaKadosh into their bones, Ezekiel 37, and quit depending on or listening to the United States, it seems like our government is not your ally anymore. You're more of an ally to us than we are to you. And depend on God, I think that will bring the changes. There's no doubt that Islam is going to come against Israel. I feel for you and I pray for you, and you're so alone, but I know God is on your side and he will prevail. It's just getting people there prepared and quit listening to the evil tongues of Obama and some of the other national leaders and the UN, and not be pressured into positions that they shouldn't be taking.
Well, we have to understand that these things must come to pass for Jerusalem to become that stumbling stone, according to Zechariah chapter 12. And I'm seeing that unfold right between my eyes. Because we have, I believe it's on the west side or east Jerusalem of the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, and there's a lot of Arabs there, and the so-called Arab leader, Abu Mazen, has declared to the world that he wants Jerusalem to be their capital. I mean, nowhere in the Quran Jerusalem is ever mentioned. And no one can say that the Prophet Muhammad even came to Jerusalem to do anything. For them to say that Jerusalem is the capital of the Arabs, I mean, I must disagree, because I believe in the Torah, and I believe that this is the city of David, right there in the Valley of Shiloh. There's uprisings there every day. They're stoning the border police. They're trying to hurt the border police, and even, for that matter, even tourists that go there to go and visit the city of David. So,
go ahead.
So for them to call Jerusalem their capital, I mean, something is wrong. And this so-called administration in Washington continues to put more pressure and more pressure on the shoulders of Benjamin Netanyahu. So we need to take a stand.
On my website, I have a website, Ephraim's Arrow. I downloaded something off of WeJew.com, which is a video sharing thing. And it's a man asking questions.
I'm from.
You still there?
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm here.
He did a quiz with the UCLA students and asked them questions like, "What is the only democratic nation in the Middle East?" And a majority of the students that he was questioning said Iran. Our students are so ignorant. They don't know. They don't know where the Palestinians came from. They don't understand that Israel is a nation of the Jewish people. They don't understand anything about what's going on in the Middle East other than what people whisper in their ear. And it seems that most of them side with the Palestinians because of their ignorance. And I know one of my jobs is to try to educate, especially the youth, into realizing what the history is over there, where the Palestinians came from. Go ahead.
Which you're fixing to say that, that's what I was wanting to do, is I wanted to ask you to please share that, because, you know, even the Palestinians don't have it right. This new generation is spouting lies because, unfortunately, that's what they're being told in the history of their nation. So go ahead. Thank you.
Well, when Israel became a nation, over 60,000 Jews from a lot of surrounding Arab nations fled their countries and came to Israel. But yet all of these displaced properties and buildings and homes, not one of those homes was offered by any Arab nation to the Palestinians, the Arabs living in Israel at the time. Now, most of the Palestinians that are in Israel came to Israel because of the early influx of the Jews coming in there and providing jobs for them in their orchards and so on. And it amazes me. You know, we can go back to the Balfour Agreement after World War I. England seems to always mess things up. But those properties were in Jordan were given, and that's where the Palestinians seem to have come from, is that area, that was given to Saudi Arabian grandchildren or whatever to have room, and all that was in trade for oil agreements and dealing and so on and so forth. So already half of Israel was taken away from them, and then what was left over, the West Bank and the Gaza, has now been taken away from them. And all you have is the Judean desert, Jerusalem, and then you have the North Israel. That's not a whole lot of property to be prosperous and to grow in, but yet Israel has become the breadbasket of Europe, and they don't see that, It doesn't make sense to me that they want to destroy the Jews. Look what happened to Gaza. Gaza was a beautiful place with a lot of greenhouses and a lot of products grown there. And when the Arabs took control, the Palestinians took control, they destroyed everything. They want to live on given assets given to them by the nations.
Well, the current government in Gaza is receiving, hundreds and hundreds of millions of euros per year. And how come the European Union is not questioning where this money is going to, other than they continue to criticize and judge and condemn Israel? We are allowing all these humanitarian trucks to go in and out of Gaza. They can't say they have a shortage of food because they don't. So we see that it's like a double standard. On the other hand, they give hundreds and hundreds of millions of euros to the current government in Gaza, led by Haniyeh and his terrorist thugs. And they live like rich kings, and yet you have the European Union condemning Israel at every time. I mean, let's take a look at the numbers. Over 10,000 rockets were fired towards Israel. Then we decided, our government decided to go in and do an operation in Gaza. Because 10,000 rockets later, enough was enough. And yet we got the Goldstone report, condemning and judging Israel. Now he backed away from his report, but it's too late because the United Nations had agreed to make it known to the world that we were the ones that were persecuting Gaza. We were not. And we are people that want peace. Yet we have the right to defend ourselves.
Yes.
So, there's a double standard within the nations that always, instead of looking at the truth, they look at half of the truth. And there's a saying that said that and I believe Hitler used this a lot, and the Grand Mufti met with Hitler prior to Hitler trying to take control of the world, that if you continue to use the same propaganda over and over again, people will believe it. And there's a saying that says, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. You go to our American campuses, and they continue to lie against Israel, And I hate to say this, but the majority of our schools in the U.S., are not telling people the truth. They're listening to the other side.
That's right. And most of our universities here in this country were started by Christian organizations, and they've been completely taken over by secular humanists and very leftist-minded professors. So we can expect that. We've got a very dirty institution in our college.
And Mr. Dan, losing something new too. I've spoken to a former teacher from Texas, and they are doing an expose on how a lot of these charter schools, really that's one of the things that the Republicans are touting as the wave of the future as far as education is going charter schools. Well, the bad thing about it, like here in Texas, and this lady, Donna Garner, is exposing it, is a lot of the charter schools are run by Middle Easterners. What has happened is there's a loophole in the laws of the state of Texas that does not require U.S. citizens for their board members. And when they finally start studying these Texas charter schools, lo and behold, they are run by Turkish, their board members' names, you cannot find it on their website. It's like secret. And when you finally get to digging, all the people are from Turkey mostly. And the new teachers, they replace the good teachers that's here in America. The new teachers are those that are getting that H-1B-1 visa, whatever. And so they are promoting Islam. It's a wave of Islamic integration into our education system. And another thing that is really hard is they're trying to get access now to more money from the Texas. There's an endowment money. Texas is one of the states that there's an endowment where they can buy textbooks. They're rich what the textbook makers go for as far as textbooks because they can afford to buy them. It's from Oil Well or something like that. And but anyway, these charter schools that are run by these Middle Easterners, they are trying to get access to that money to get construction bonds to build larger schools. And again, because of political correctness, you know, it's like, oh, this is the kind of school. They aren't good in math. That's one of the things that is has been a key. But yet, you know, they're not even from, they're not citizens of the United States that's running these schools. And indoctrination is what's going on.
You know, you have to understand Islam. Islam was a power to be reckoned with many, many centuries ago. And once they lost their power, they had always said that they will try and rule the world again. I mean, we go into France. You have a big population of Muslims in France. The same thing is happening in UK, in the United Kingdom, Britain, and many nations in the world are being populated by many Arabs. So their main goal is to take control and take power again as they once did, and that never left them. And if you read closely the Quran, it says it clearly that they want to take control of the entire world.
Mm-hmm. They're setting up to build a caliphate. The Sunnis and the Shias seem to be coming together to bring that about. I don't know how that all is going to work out, but the Bible tells me that a spirit of confusion will come upon them when they come against Israel. So I can understand how that may take place, because as they surround Israel and they're about to take Israel and they think that they're completely in control and they will take Israel, they're going to start thinking, well, these are my spoils. You know, and the Sunnis are going to say, no, they're my spoils. And the Palestinians say, no, these are my spoils. And then they're going to come against each other. That's the way I look at it. I think that may happen. But Israel is fixing to go through some very, very difficult times. And I fear for Israel, especially for the innocents that are there. You know, I know there's a lot of Christians who would love to go over there and help in the fight. But there's a lot of people in Israel that need to come out of there. Some of the children and elderly and stuff to find some type of place of safety. It's just going to be like an army of ants overrunning Israel, and the prophecies speak that a lot of Israelis will die during that time. I don't know if that's talking
about. We're facing Iran. Iran is a supplier of all the weapons that are coming in, either to the Gaza or to Syria and Lebanon. Iran is the one supplying all these weapons to these, I call them terrorist thugs, because I know that if they get their hands on any Israeli or any Jew, whatever, they will kill them or destroy them or even hold them for ransom. Now, these people continue to the influx of weapons. Let me tell you what Egypt is getting ready to do. The Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt is going to be wide open, and we have no control of that. As you know, Mubarak is not in power anymore, so you have a puppet government ruled by the military. And you got the Muslim Brotherhood that is already setting the stage. More weapons are going to come into this Rafah crossing. And they can hit any city here in Israel. I mean, we remember when we had the war with Lebanon, the rockets were reaching Haifa. The bottom line here is that if America doesn't stop this Ahmadinejad and Russia, because Russia's behind these nuclear facilities that have been built, and nobody talks about that. I mean, it's like quiet. Nobody says it, but I will say it. Russian scientists were the ones that built those sites for Iran because of the money that they were being paid. So I think Iran is a threat to be dealt with. Not that we can't defend ourselves. I'm sure we can, but it's going to affect the entire Middle East. Iran has long-range weapons and missiles that can reach Europe, and I don't know why America or the so-called powers that be have not done anything to other than sanctions. They're not working, and they knew that wasn't going to work because it didn't work in the past. So I believe that once the head of the snake is cut away, then the other little snakes that are around in the Middle East cannot do much of anything. But we are living in very critical times, and the time to favor Zion is not yesterday, not tomorrow. It is now, today, actually my evening, 10 o'clock, 10:10, the time to favor Zion now is now. But when you were mentioning a little while ago about Israel and the nations that are surrounding us, 2 Chronicles 7:14 came to my mind, and I believe that if my people, and this is my people Israel, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek the face of Hashem, then Hashem will hear from the heavens and come to us. That should be the prayer of all the friends and partners from America to have that prayer in their minds to favor Israel.
Well, Luden, I was just hearing you say that, and also about Egypt. I learned a little bit about how Egypt really is. We're hearing people say it was an uprising towards democracy. But when you hear the true facts behind Egypt, and one of the most telling is the female genital mutilation rate. I did not know. I was so shocked to know that it happened to 90% of the Egyptian women. I had no idea. I had read that Mubarak had made that illegal, but even though Mubarak, as bad as he was, saw that as bad, still, the tradition kept on, and it's happening 90% of the time. And I think that just shows the underlying factor that, no, Egypt will not move towards democracy. Egypt will move towards a stricter Sharia law, because that is exactly what's been going on. But also, when you say about praying, I was just asking God for a word, and when you said that, He turned me to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, and it is exactly what you have said. In verse, Zephaniah verses 3, 5, it says there, the Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every new day he does not fail. And I just think that, Jerusalem citizens of all people have no excuse for their sins. That's really what it's talking about. But even though the people didn't follow God, God was within the city of Jerusalem, present in the midst of corruption, persecution, and unbelief. So no matter how spiritually defenseless the world seems, God is here and God is at work. And I just want to ask, Mr. Dan, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a question I was going to ask, Luden, is what is the spiritual element over there? I know that Tel Aviv is the place to play and Jerusalem is the place to pray. Are they leaning towards, are they becoming more conservative, religious conservative, or are there a lot of them turning to secularism?
You know, it's really sad that that most of the Israelis is becoming a secular society. You know, we do have the Orthodox, hardcore Orthodox that that are the ones that I believe that are keeping this country through their prayers and through whatever it is they're doing, and keeping the 613 commandments and so on. But Israel has basically become a secular society. And I say this with authority, because how can you allow a gay parade through Jerusalem's streets?
Right.
I mean, I just could not understand that. When I saw that, I almost threw up that was allowed. And they went to the Supreme Court and they challenged it, and they won. So here we go. We have our justices that are sitting in the Supreme Court and have completely forsaken the Torah and the word of Hashem, the word of God. So it's become a secular society, and you know, the Orthodox are the ones that are really you know, going to the wall and praying and saying their prayers day and night. So there's always a remnant right within Israel. You have the Christian the Christians that are here, and I believe you have about. I think I read a number today on one of the sites. There's about 10,000 Messianics here, so there's a remnant here that won't give in. Even so, the majority is more secular than they are religious.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that's a scary thing, but I think. When the trials and tribulations are coming upon the nation, I think God will reveal himself through the spiritual aspect of Israel.
Mr. Dan, can I point you to Zephaniah chapter 3? And it says right here, and you know, Luden was speaking about the remnant, and chapter 3, verse 9, through 12 is talking about the remnant. Then will I purify the lips of the peoples, and all of them may call on the name of the Lord, and serve him shoulder to shoulder from beyond the rivers of Cush. My worshippers, my scattered people, will bring me offerings. On that day you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. But I will live within you, the meek and the humble who trust in the name of the Lord.
All right.
Wow.
Well, there is a remnant, and you have to look at Israel's history. There's always been a remnant that have not bowed themselves to the false gods. So we face these difficult times. We know that the hand of Hashem, God, is not too short to come and rescue the people that he called out of Egypt, he called out of bondage and out of slavery. And we also have to understand that the bad habits that were picked up in Egypt by the worship of many gods is still in place. That has not changed.
At this time, they were called out of the nations all around the world from dysphoria, and they have brought all of those bad habits as well.
Yes, and it's here, and it's not you know, it hasn't changed in 5,000 years or 3,000 years. I mean, we look at you know, Rabbi Avinu, Abraham. That when he left the land, you know, they were worshiping, you know, thousands of gods. So he was called out to be the father of a nation, the nation of Israel. Yet that nation became enslaved by by going to Egypt and the famine that came into the land and so on. And they learned and practiced the traditions of the Egyptians because things happen to people when they see it day in and day out, day in and day out. And they were there for 400 and some years. And when they left Egypt, what happened at Mount Sinai? I mean, the worship of the calf. I mean, it hasn't changed.
Let me go ahead and mention this because we're nearing the end, and I'd like for you to have a time to pray with us, if you don't mind, about our nation and Jerusalem, Israel, and also Mr. Dan. But I'd like to say this because in looking at that scripture I just read, Mr. Dan, it said, from beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshipers, my scattered people. And I think of America, you know, here we are in America. And I know there's a lot of Jewish people here. We are his people. I know that I love Jesus Christ. And I want to offer up a prayer today and join in praying for, you know, Jerusalem, for Israel. And so will many people today all over this country. So what I think God is so good to remind us of that, you know, that, you know, he will remove from the city those who rejoice in their pride. There is hope. We hear that. We hear that in his word. And also, I just think about here in Alabama, Luton, where we, in Alabama, we saw the tornadoes. It's almost like, Mr. Dan, you know, there's a really close parallel with when something happens in Israel, the apple of God's eye, something also happens here in the nation of the United States of America, because on the same day that Hamas and Fatah signed that agreement to become as one, that is the day that, you know, the heavens was ripped over our state here of Alabama. Well, over the southeast, you know, southern part of this country, it was ripped, torn. And they said never before in the history have they seen so many of those tornadoes come to pass in such a short period of time, in a 24-hour period. And I know you heard that, Mr. Dan.
Birth pains of the Messiah is what that is. More frequent will it happen and more intense.
Wow. Well, we want to join as, you know, we suffer when Israel suffers. I think, and the whole world suffers. You know, a lot of people does not understand that, but we're trying to study. And Luden, we thank you for sharing your time with us. Really, it's just, Mr. Rodan, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he joined us today. What a blessing this has been to hear him, you know, so that we can pray for Israel and what is going on. He's telling us a lot of things we will never hear in the news. We should be hearing this, but we do not
hear it. All we hear about is the English wedding.
Right, the wedding.
You know where let me finish with this Sestaniah, the verse 20, chapter 3, and then Dan can finish it off, and it says that verse 20 says, at that time I will bring you in, and at that time I will gather you. For I will make you to be a name and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I turn your captivity before your eyes, saith Hashem God.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly what we are waiting for.
Well, Mr. Dan, I'm going to let you, I think Luden wants, me and Luden both wants to agree with you. So if you don't mind, pray for Israel and pray for our country and pray for the world. I think people need to be ready. The signs are there. I've been listening to y'all, and the signs are there.
Abba Makenu, Lord, we just come to thee. Lord, we just ask you to see to the needs of those that are seeking the truth, those that have a desire and a love for Israel, Lord. Let them rise up as shiny lights in the wilderness, and let the moths be led to them, those that are seeking the truth, Father. Lord, I just have a special burden for Israel right now because they are set apart and they're by themselves and the world has turned their face on Israel. And I know it is your will because of your prophecies must be fulfilled that no nation will help Israel. You will help Israel out of its time of distress. But Lord, I ask you for the evangelical Christians of the world to rise up and to support Israel in their prayers and any other way that they are led to do. Lord, we just ask you for Luden and his family to be protected during these hard times. Lord, his children are coming up in a very difficult time. But yet it's a time of praise and glory because we know that we are going to see the Mashiach that we are all are looking for break the eastern sky and to come down on Mount Olives, and all the world will bow. Not one knee will not bow, and every tongue will confess that you are Hashem. Lord, we just ask you to protect Israel, protect those that are seeking your face, and Lord, help them to turn unto thee and to reject all the humanistic attitudes and evil anti-God things that are going on, especially the gay movement. Lord, I just rebuke them in your name to cast them out as you are going to cast the devil, Hasatan, into the pit. Lord, thank you for this radio program. Thank you for Diane's efforts to stand up for you, Lord. And we just ask you to keep our paths straight before us so that we can concentrate on working for your kingdom and to usher your kingdom in. Help us to prepare your way. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, amen.
In closing, Luden, I'd like to we want to remember May 15th. We pray that uprising will not come to fruition as they are intending it to in Jerusalem and Israel. So we're going to remember that date, Mr. Dan, and we're going to ask others to pray with us against May 15th, not becoming a horrendous day for the people of Israel. And Luden, I'm going to let you close with some more thoughts.
Yeah, don't forget May 15th, and also what I had said on September 2011. That's going to be a month for the world to wake up. I believe September is going to be a month that is going to shake the foundation, not just of the world, but the foundation of Israel. So with that said, I want to thank you. Dan, for sharing your input and your insight, and Diane, I want to thank you. And please don't forget us here in Israel. And as you know, Diane, my situation here is not the greatest, but yet He who called us is faithful, and we know that our help comes from the God of Israel, and He will provide all of our needs. And we say in Hebrew, Sha'alu. Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray, inquire for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom.
Well, shalom, and Luden and listeners, you know, we want to help our Jewish friends, and Luden is one of those that we would love for you to help. He's a family there that he's trying to support. He's trying to support as best he can. So, if you feel led to help Luden, I'm going to put an article link to him, and I would love for you to please join me in, you know, blessing Luden a gift when you can. It will indeed be a blessing because he's certainly a blessing to us, and he's sharing with us information we need to hear about the apple of God's eye, Israel, that we will not hear anywhere else. So thank you, Luden. God bless you, and I ask the listeners, please go to our website, www.cityonthehill.tv. Share this podcast with your friends and family, and again, go to the website, read our articles and the links. God bless you, Mr. Dan. Thank you, sir, for your faithfulness to God, and we thank you for the privilege of praying with you today in the National Day of Prayer. And be seeing Luden again shortly. He will come and join us, hopefully, Luden, and just let us know what's going on. If you come on once every other week, we would appreciate it.
Thank you, and shalom from Jerusalem.
Shalom. And shalom, Mr. Dan.
Shalom.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, listeners. God bless you. Thank you for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. May God shine His face upon you. Goodbye.